It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday the 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. The company SpaceX imagines a future most of us still think exists only in science fiction, an era where commercial space travel is as commonplace as getting in a 747 for a holiday or business trip. The latest test in this mission is tomorrow's rescheduled attempt to launch the company's Falcon 9 rocket for a resupply mission to the International Space Station. And the idea is that the first stage part of the rocket that pops off will then be landed on an ocean platform and later reused. Carissa Christensen is managing partner at the Tory Group Space and Technology team. She says there are two cost factors at play here.
It really depends on what you're launching, and it depends on how much it costs you to reuse. Is checking everything so expensive that it's practically the same price as building a new one, or can you really do it for a tenth or a hundredth of the price?
Carissa Christensen of the Tory Group. SpaceX's Falcon 9 launch is scheduled for just after 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. If 2014 was the year of the hacking attack, could 2015 be the year of the hack back? Reports from Bloomberg and elsewhere say that in the wake of the Sony attack, more and more organizations in the private sector, from finance to utility companies, are hiring firms to look at retaliation for hacking. Stephen Cobb is a security researcher at ESET, and we wanted to ask him about all this. Hello, Stephen.
Hi, Ben.
So, hack back. Definition. Help me.
It's using aggressive measures to respond to an attack on your systems.
Are there some interesting legal questions that arise with this kind of emerging pattern of companies really going after each other in this way?
Well, there are some very serious legal questions. And the first one is probably to say, I'm not aware of any companies that have actually done this, but there's been an awful lot of talk about it. And going back many years, American law is quite clear on this, that you're not allowed to put your software on somebody else's system without permission. And so there are serious legal constraints, despite the very serious temptation people face to try this course of action.
Are we seeing a growth in this course of action that is concerning?
Yes, I think if you look at the Sony Pictures hack and the tremendous difficulty agreeing upon who was responsible, it's extremely worrying to think that an aggressive course of action might be taken against an innocent party, apart from the fact that it diverts attention from what really should be going on, which is that legitimate law enforcement should be acting to protect companies, and companies should be doing a better job of their own protection. I think, this is 2015 now. This state of affairs has been coming for some period of time.
Our friend Stephen Cobb, security researcher at ESET. Stephen, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Ben.
By the way, President Obama just okayed new sanctions against North Korea after the Sony attack. The sanctions target the country's government intelligence arm, as well as 10 specific North Korean officials. For many Apple fans, the beginning of this year is synonymous with Apple Watch time. The company's smartwatch is supposed to launch soon, but as more and more tech companies have released similar devices, established luxury brands are starting to catch up. The company Montblanc, for instance, just released a smart band that you would wear on a regular watch. A small screen that is part of the band sits opposite the watch, so you get the regular time on one side of the wrist and the text notifications on the other. Ben Clymer is the executive editor at the watch review site Hodinkee, and he thinks this kind of product might be the future for luxury brands. Hi, Ben.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well, although I'm not wearing a watch. I've been holding out. I kind of feel like I want the Moto 360, but now there's going to be another one, and I don't know.
You're probably better off, honestly. These things, they're so early on in their development. So I would say, hold your cards a little bit.
You're telling me I don't want to buy a watch.
I'm going to say you should buy a mechanical watch.
Okay.
A digital smartwatch is a totally different animal. I don't know if you've had the chance to kind of read, my review of the Apple Watch after I saw it, but it's really not even a watch.
What is it?
That's kind of the question that we're all kind of waiting to figure out. I think, with time, it'll kind of come to the top as we figure out what exactly we're going to do with these things.
I've seen some pretty interesting advertising in the subways here of old watch companies trying to advertise themselves as making watches that are very smart. Do you think luxury watch brands need to get into this tech stuff to stay competitive?
I think that they need to pay attention to what's happening with smartwatches and the Apple Watch and things like that. I don't think that they necessarily need to be directly involved. I think, you know, that there are partnerships, there's collaborations, there's a lot that each, you know, side of the equation can learn from each other. But I think, you know, it'll be very difficult for these, you know, hyper-conservative, hyper-traditional luxury players to all of a sudden become tech companies.
And innovate. That's not something that they're necessarily... They're good at making the same thing over and over really, really well and this sort of iterative improvements.
Sure. I mean, it's true and not so true in some ways. I mean, they do innovate. You know, it's more than iterative, but, you know, only in their own little world. So it's really interesting to me to see, you know, Mont Blanc's e-strap. And I think it's great in the sense that it doesn't try to be everything. You know, it's not an actual watch. It can be worn on a Rolex. It can be worn on a Patek or a Tag Heuer, even though it's made by Mont Blanc and launched with some of their watches.
Ben Clymer is the founder and executive editor of the online watch magazine Hodinkee. Ben, thank you very much.
That's my pleasure. Have a great day.
Okay, that's it for us. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.